Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your host, and welcome to our Best of 2023 episode. This is our second year running our Best of list at the end of the year, and it is always such a fun yet stressful episode to pull together. What another incredible year for music, both for Australian artists and for those from abroad. The thing I love most about this time of year is the sharing of lists and everyone's top records of the year. It's always so cool to see what other people were listening to and what kind of artists that you share with people and what artists you kind of miss throughout the year. Last year's episode, we had Lizzie McAlpine as our top record, and only a month or so later, Ceilings went viral on TikTok and brought her to a whole new subsection of fans. So that was very cool to kind of see and watch. On the flip side of that, we totally missed the Rosalía record last year, and it was on everyone else's list. But with so many people recommending it, we went and checked it out, fell in love with it immediately, went and bought the vinyl actually within a day or so of listening to it. So it is such a special time of year with all these lists kind of floating around. I have to admit, 2023 had some absolutely stellar records from artists, but nothing that clicked with me as instantly as Lizzie McAlpine and Barty's Strange did last year. I feel like those records, when I heard them, they really kind of resonated with me quite quickly, and I knew they would be somewhere in the top 3 to 4 to 5 records. Whereas this year, it did take me a bit of a longer time to find records that I fell in love with and that resonated with me. I really had to invest and get to know a record for it to keep its longevity. One thing that surprised me this year, though, was my own listening habits. We had records from some of my absolute favorite bands from over the course of my many 30-something years of life. And while they were good records, I found myself not returning to them time and time again like some previous records that I would have maybe back in the day. Bands like The National and Sufjan Stevens both put out records that were great, but just simply were not my cup of tea this year. Didn't quite catch the mark, or I didn't click with it for whatever reason. There were also records that I just couldn't, that I didn't really click with either. I know that some of these might be controversial, but from artists like Caroline Polachek to Ray to Lana Del Rey, these albums were sonically very beautiful to listen to, but for whatever reason, didn't quite click with myself and found it difficult to kind of return back to. Listening habits do change over time, and with the sheer volume of music that we listen to for the podcast, I don't know whether it means that I'm more selective with what I listen to or that my attention span might be shorter. I'm not totally sure. All I can tell you is that this list is obviously subjective and just my own opinion. There are some that you might agree with and some that you don't from our top 20. If you think I missed anything, please reach out. We do love recommendations of music on the pod, so let me know. Similar to last year, these 20 records we're going to talk about today are the 20 records I found myself revisiting and connecting with the most. Some aren't in my most played for the year, but for whatever reason, their record has burrowed itself down into my brain and has remained in my playlist throughout the last 12 months. From folk songs with three-part harmonies to truth-telling hip-hop, these records are what soundtracked my 2023. Once again, we've also invited some guests along for the ride with us today who are joining us to tell us their thoughts on some of our top records for the year. I won't spoil who's on the guest list so far, but if you've already read the artwork or episode description, you'll have a pretty good idea. So as it was the year of AI taking over in 2023, I thought I'd get a little hand in our countdown today with the assistance of our new virtual assistant, Beatrice. Hey, Beatrice.
Hello there.
Now she's going to help introduce each record as we count down today.
I sure am.
So let's get into it then and count down our top 20 records for 2023. Beatrice, you take it away.
At number 20, it's Gracie Abrams with Good Riddance. I hate to look at your face and know that we're feeling different.
We are kicking things off at number 20 with Gracie Abrams and Good Riddance. And to join us, we have the lovely Helena Zara to join us. Hello, Helena. How's it going?
Hello. Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for our end of year episode and also to chat about Gracie Abrams. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Of course, anytime.
I do have to ask, I have to get it out of the way. Are you a big Gracie Abrams fan? I don't know what her fandom is called, actually. Do you know?
I actually don't know. I don't think I've come across a... I do know that a fan group chat has added me, and they're called Gracilies, but I don't know if that's her actual fandom.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, maybe we're discovering new ground here. Maybe there isn't an official term as of yet, and maybe. That's why we're... Yeah. Well, look, I know there's been a lot of talk about... you may be playing with Gracie when she comes to Australia. I don't know what we can talk about in relation to that, but I do want to talk about her record Good Riddance, and I'd love to know, yes. I guess, your introduction to Gracie Abrams and when you first heard some of the music of this new record.
Oh, goodness, where do I start? I was 14 when I was introduced to Gracie. I don't even know how I stumbled across Gracie. It must have been through Instagram or SoundCloud, I think, because I was following, like, Lennon Stella and other upcoming emerging female artists out of LA. And I do remember listening to a song off of her SoundCloud. I don't think she's re-released it since. But it's a song called And She Will Miss You. And it really, really resonated with me personally for many mm-hmm. different personal reasons. And I was honestly stunned, and I just became overly obsessed with her. I admire her so much, and she definitely opened a portal within my creative world and realm for me in terms of, like, you know, being a songwriter and just a creative in general. So, yeah.
I absolutely love that. With this with this new record, I realize it's always such an unfair kind of question to ask. Is there a key track from this record or, like, a favorite track that you love?
I would say, my goodness, there are so many great tracks on that album. Like, I think it's so unfair to just pick one song. I definitely would say, I mean, look, I Know It Won't Work Out, Amelie. I would say there is Right Now Speaking to Me in my life.
Look, very solid choices. I Know It Won't Work, I think, is also a favorite of mine. So,
I think
very, very solid choices with those.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask, as well as Gracie Abrams releasing new music, we also had new music from yourself this year in the form of Convenience Store and Wait, both absolutely brilliant singles, one a bit more poppy, one a little bit more heartbreaking. Can we expect some more music from Helena Zara in 2024?
Absolutely. I don't think I'll ever stop. We do have an EP on its way. I think I'm allowed to say that. I'm not sure, but it's out now. So, I'm very excited for 2024. I have a good feeling about it, and I can't wait to release all of my music at some point when that time comes.
That is super exciting. And when that time does come, please come back to the podcast and we'll do a proper episode and have you
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Please. I would love to.
That sounds fantastic. Helena, thank you so much for chatting to us about Gracie Abrams. And we hope that you have a lovely end of the rest of the year for yourself.
Thank you. Yourself as well.
Number 19, it's 100 Gex with 10,000 Gex. I go crazy, little tiny Hollywood baby.
the last number of years, two things have become abundantly clear in the landscape of popular music. Firstly, everything old is new again, with nostalgia being mined for inspiration all the time. All you have to do is simply look at the terrible David Guetta songs that are coming out that sample 90s dance songs, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Secondly, with recent artists having more exposure to more genres, the line between genres are getting further blurred. Artists like Rina Sawayama have found success blending new metal and pop and rock, and I feel like 100 Gex are the further evolution of both of those times. 10,000 Gex is the record that they put out this year, and it is an experimental and genre-defying album that kind of challenges musical norms. It blends elements of pop, electronic, hyper-pop, new metal, ska, rock, electro, heavy metal, and it almost at some times feels like it could fall into parody, but it never quite does. They seem to stick the landing perfectly. The album's chaotic and inventive soundscapes explore themes of internet culture, absurdity, and pushing the boundaries of musical experimentation. There does tend to be this lazy kind of go-to phrase in music journalism to say that 100 Gex simply sounds like what the internet sounds like. I think if you boil it down to that simple phrase, you're just not using the internet to its full potential.
Number 18, it's Zach Bryan with the self-titled Zach Bryan. They said I was a wannabe cowboy from a cutthroat town, with tattooed skin and nobody around. Your songs sound the same, you'll never make a name for yourself.
In a year that saw country music at its most popular and possibly its most divisive, one genuine star really did shine through, and that was one Mr. Zach Bryan. When popular country music seems to be trying new sonics with beats and attempting to reach more of a pop sound, traditional songwriting and sincerity could have been a really risky move, but Zach does such an effortless job of drawing the listener in with his heartfelt lyrics and his honest storytelling. From stories about the working class and human experience that never quite feel forced or disingenuous, to stories of love and heartache, Zach's lyrics and vocal delivery make you feel as if you're just kind of simply hearing a friend pour his heart out over a cold beverage. The Casey Musgrave duet could honestly be turned into a whole record itself, which I would not be mad about either. And I do have so much respect for the man as he managed to reunite Australian band The Middle East for his US tour. To me, that makes him a hero already. And the Bible's in their heart.
At number 17, it's Genesis Owusu with Struggler. I won't die on my knees till my hands tie. In the end, it's a roach
versus a landslide. Better run, there's a gun, and he's coming for me. Genesis Owusu made a stunning return with his second studio record, Struggler, this year, and we've managed to rope in the lovely Whatso Not to help us chat about it. Chris, hello. How you going, mate?
I'm great. I'm doing good. It's been a bit of a warm day today, but managed to stay cool and just get into some music, which was really great. I got this little studio set up in a very empty room as my folks are moving out, and I had to clean up my house, my childhood home.
Mm-hmm. You are back in Australia at the moment. How has it been treating you?
Honestly, it's been awesome. I came back and I went to New Zealand for about 5 days with my brother. We just went surfing. It was the first time we'd left the country in a couple of years because of COVID, and he has a dog and stuff now, like most people. yeah, it's been awesome. Good weather, beach every day. You know, you sort of just you come to conclusions of things that aren't exactly how you want them, and then you say them out loud. I wish this would change, and then it suddenly does. I've had a bit of that too. I came back and I was like, I don't have any really good friends that actually live here anymore. And then suddenly, like, two of my amazing music industry friends are just staying up the road for like 3 weeks while they set up a business over here or something. Nice. And so we're just going every day. Yeah, it's been really nice.
That is awesome to hear. Well, I'm glad you're back. Kind of at home. Well, yeah, literally at home. Thank you again for coming to chat with us about the Genesis Owusu record from this year, Struggler. It was another brilliant kind of representation of what Genesis does quite well, mixing, you know, punk, hip-hop, even disco in some kind of elements. What did you make of the record? I guess what was your kind of first impressions of this second record?
I've heard a little bit. I was talking about this the other day that I might have even heard some of these before they were out because I'm very good friends with Genesis' manager, Maddie, or that, I think it's his day today. Jono Maher is a very good friend of mine, and Jono has been working on this project for quite some time now. I went to maybe his first Perth show. When I was living in Perth during COVID, he came over and it was a chance to catch up with everybody who was part of that team. And I even took him to a neuro drum and bass night, which was a bit frightening for most of the crew, I think. But yeah, the record's so cool. I think my favorite part about it is all the punky kind of, you know, upbeat, downbeat, up-tempo sort of records. It almost had a bit of a Bloc Party vibe, you know, Bloc Party sort of used to get like that back in the... it was really dope. Great musicality, nice organic elements, you know, front to back. I have a question for you though, because I'm just not super, super familiar with the ins and outs of this record. There was roaches brought up constantly. There's a track called Roach. You dive into what this means.
See, that is a good question. I don't feel like I'm qualified to answer it either. I think that is almost a question for Genesis himself, because the roach, it does. It is quite strong imagery throughout the record. And as you said, there's the track, The Roach, which is, it kind of poses some good questions. I think it asks, are we human or are we dancer? Which is, you know, coming back around from The Killers 10 years on, but still, yeah, I'm not entirely sure why The Roach, but it, yeah, very strong imagery.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Really cool album. I listened to bits and pieces of it and it was great doing this. And I listened to it front to back like a couple of times. I had a big drive up to Newcastle the other day. It's great driving music, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Very great road trip record. This might be a little bit of an unfair question to ask. Is there a key track that kind of stood out to you as, I guess, the one that kind of clicked with you the most or resonated with you the most?
Probably Balthazar was really good. Leaving the Light On. I'm guessing Leaving the Light On is like the main single, is it?
Yes, I think that was one of the first singles to be released.
Yeah, I like this. I like that I'm a bit detached from everything. I'm always overseas. So I'm just coming at it like, I'm going to guess that one. I don't really know, but that was the one I was like, this is a very strong record. And then so I was like, probably makes sense. This was the lead song of the album and the single. I think Stuck in the Fam was really cool. I definitely liked all the punky ones. And there was quite a few, like every two or three tracks, I was like, oh, sick. This is a good vibe. Yeah.
100%. I think there's, I'm curious to see kind of what he does on the third record then, if he does kind of lean into those more punk-ish elements. And as you said before, like the Bloc Party elements, I think that was a very good call. I would love to talk for a second about yourself and the new track Cyanide, which is out right now. It's out with Tommy Trash and with Lucille Croft on it as well. Congratulations on this single.
Thank you very much.
Of course, of course. Well, I know you and I spoke, I think, last year about Anomaly and that record when it came out. Obviously, we've got new music now, might be a little bit forward thinking. Are we looking at maybe some more new music for 2024?
Oh, definitely. I was contemplating doing another album and I don't think I'm going to just yet. I think that albums are in a tricky spot in the way music is being consumed at the moment and ingested. And I think behaviors of social media and all these different things. So I've been liking the idea of the freedom to be a little more exploratory. I had a year like that, releasing singles on all different labels around the world, sort of breaking away from just the labels I've been with for such a long time, doing full album campaigns. And I really enjoyed that. And now I think I'm going to move into still probably doing some singles, maybe some EPs that have kind of narrow in on certain themes and genres and emotions for each little pocket of music. And I've definitely in my mind got four different spaces I sort of want to cover off, and I've got some pretty well done records ready to sit into those zones.
That is awesome to hear. Well, in whatever kind of capacity or form that they come in, I'm very much looking forward to some more new music from yourself next year. Thank you very much for coming to chat with us about Genesis Owusu and Struggler. We do appreciate it, and I hope that you have a great end of the year and happy holidays.
Thanks so much, Simon. Really appreciate it.
At number 16, it's Ryan Beatty with Calico.
And print on a window pane like white teeth to red wine stain.
The stunning third record from Ryan Beatty came out in April of this year, bringing some of the year's best folk and pop tracks. And we're lucky enough to be joined by the other creators of some of the best folk pop in 2023. It's Tiny Habits.
Hello, man.
Hello again. How are you going?
Hello.
Now, I have to admit, Calico was my first introduction to Ryan Beatty. I imagine that the three of you were maybe more well-versed in his music before Calico.
I only remember seeing his videos on YouTube as like a child. And then I saw this album and I was like, I have to know.
Yeah. Judah, you showed us the...
I found Bruises Off the Peach, which is on that album. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to the Habs.
And we all
and
became
I was
obsessed.
Like, this is crazy. Tap in.
I mean, first you heard of Ryan Beatty though?
No, I knew who he was. I just didn't.
Just like as a figure or like his music?
Just not as an artist. I didn't know his music. I knew him as a singer.
Yeah.
What do the three of you make of some of the songwriting on this record? Because it is some of the most refreshing, and especially that track as well, Bruises Off the Peach. It is this beautiful, light kind of acoustic pop. What do you make of some of his songwriting choices on this record?
It's ingenious.
I think this is definitely one of our top favorite albums, like the three mm-hmm. of us, of the whole year.
Yeah.
And I remember being on the train. I think mm-hmm. we were going to New York, and we were all listening to it at the same time, with our jaws to the ground.
Yeah.
But the songwriting on this album is so refreshing, and I feel like I've noticed in a lot of music these days like a lot of symmetry mm-hmm. like melodically and like structurally, and I feel like this album for me was really refreshing because it sort of deviated from that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Norm. And I feel like that made a lot of the songs like really interesting for mm-hmm. me personally to listen
yeah.
to.
Also, some of the melodic choices are just so insane.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, it just
feels like a very perfect record. Like every part of it is perfect. Like mm-hmm. the production is so tasteful and so perfect for the writing, and the writing is and his voice. Like everything about it is just so like. I don't think I've heard a record that I've liked every single song is like equally as amazing to me.
Yeah.
And like,
I agree.
I don't think I've heard any other record like that.
I would agree with that sentiment. And I'm then going to follow it up with an extremely unfair question. If you then had to pick a favorite track off said record, can you do so?
Can I pick two?
Of course.
There's nine songs.
I think White Teeth cut you off.
I was going to
say White Teeth and Bruises Off the Peach.
I also love Ribbons and
Multiple Endings is also, we just say the whole album.
I think I'm going to say White Teeth.
Yeah,
I would say White Teeth as well.
Bruises Off the Peach is so good.
Bruises Off the Peach is. No, I'd say White Teeth. I think
Bright Red is also so.
That was
good.
That was gonna be my third one. Bright Red.
Little Faith is also good.
Which one's your favorite? I'm so glad that you asked us about this album.
Do you have a favorite?
Mine would be Bruises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about that track.
No, yeah,
something about it.
Now, I very quickly want to get in a bit of a plug for yourselves. You are coming down to Australia next year. In a matter of weeks, you'll be playing some shows with Gracie Abrams and your own shows in Melbourne. What can fans expect from Tiny Habits' Australian debut?
Well,
what can they expect?
Maybe some new music.
Probably a lot of music.
Maybe some new unreleased music.
Maybe, maybe.
The exciting thing is that because we only have one EP of 5 originals, if you come to a show of ours that is an hour and 15 minutes, we have to play more songs. So, yeah, a lot of unreleased stuff, the EP, of course, maybe some fun covers. It'll be really, really fun.
We'll try Vegemite on stage.
Yeah.
Live review.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that. Thank you so much for joining us on our end of the year best of episode. I appreciate it, and we'll see you in a few weeks at your Melbourne show.
Thank you so much.
I cut all the bruises off the peach. Not as beautiful.
At number 15, it's SZA with SOS.
One of the best records of the year was technically released in 2022. SZA returned in late December last year with SOS after a long break between records, but it was definitely worth the wait. SOS has the hip-hop superstar singing, rapping, and just generally getting up in her feels in such a way that feels conversational and honest, as if she literally just thought of them herself. Jumping from indie pop angst to betrayed musings on how to obtain revenge and running the gamut on everything in between, this record really resonated with people this year as well, with its record-breaking chart placement, sold-out tours, multiple Grammy noms at the end of the year as well. One can only hope that she brings the SOS tour to Australia, mainly so we can see that floating lifeboat visual trick. But yeah, SOS was such a brilliant triumph for SZA this year.
No problem, I don't got nobody just with you right now. Tell the truth, I look better under you, I can't lose.
At number 14, it's Troye Sivan with Something to Give Each Other.
Australia's own Troye Sivan managed to break the stock standard mold of the breakup record this year, and you honestly wouldn't even be able to tell that it was a breakup record to begin with. Something to Give Each Other finds its place not as the heartbroken lost lover kind of record or the I'm better off without you ex burnt kind of record. It kind of lands somewhere in the wild and odd space in between those two moments. It's Troye at his most comfortable and what appears to sound the most like him. His songwriting on this record is more mature than previous outings, and it finds him musing on things such as queer desire, nostalgia, and the sweetness of intimacy that is set amongst a club-ready soundtrack, and it kind of keeps it from falling into anything ever too serious at all times. Also, the Bag Raiders sample is just next-level genius. I think that's all I really have to say.
On my mind.
Let's go.
Number 13, it's Arlo Parks with My Soft Machine.
My Soft Machine sees Arlo Parks evolving the sound that she built upon on her incredible debut record, Collapsed in Sunbeams. In the lead up to this second album's release, Arlo talked about being inspired by a range of genres this time around, such as soul and industrial heavy metal, more different kind of genres that pushed her sonically from that first debut record, and you can really start to see these shine through ever so slightly. Whether it be her take on grunge, on track Devotion, or the soulful Blades, Arlo has this magical quality of being able to apply multiple kind of sonic landscapes to her heartbreaking and honest lyrics. She's going to release a book of poetry next month in January, which is a companion piece to this record, from which all accounts looks like it's going to be an absolute must read. When you embrace all my
impurities, when you embrace all my... At number 12, it's Holly Humberstone with Paint My Bedroom Black.
As you might have been able to tell from our 300th episode this year, we're big Holly Humberstone fans here at the podcast. Ever since her second EP back in 2021, we've always absolutely adored Holly's brand of folk pop that flourishes with these tiny little electronic elements. On Paint My Bedroom Black, we see Holly really not trying to fall into one category or other side of those sonic comparisons, and she does so beautifully. Songs like Super Blood Moon, Antichrist, and Into Your Room do a brilliant job of bringing together these organic instruments and electronic flourishes where Holly is able to share her thoughts on love, heartbreak, and adolescence while never seeming quite cheesy or too formulaic. She's also an absolute delight to chat with, and we're super excited to catch her at Heaps Good Festival across the summer this year.
At number 11, it's the Paper Kites with At the Roadhouse.
One of the best things about running a music podcast is that we're given pre-release access to certain artists' albums before they're released. I remember sitting down and absolutely melting when I heard the latest record from Australian folk band, The Paper Kites. At the Roadhouse has them absolutely mastering folk, country and rock across the album's 16 tracks, all which were recorded live, which is just wild to hear when you listen to the absolute delicate nature of some of these songs. For a band that is 14 years old and into their career and has kind of seen a lot of it, At the Roadhouse shows that the Paper Kites are only really just beginning to showcase the best of their work. Rolling on
easy, rolling on soon. At number 10, it's Larsalings with Perfect World.
Brother and sister duo Amy and Josh Dowdle created absolutely soaring sonics for their second record, Perfect World. Described by Amy as a journal of sorts for everything we go through in our 20s, these songs on Larsing's second record have such sprawling soundscapes that sound gigantic, but they also hold deeply personal and intimate lyrics at the same time. While electronic music usually has the tendency to build and build to a huge drop or payoff, this record by Larsing's this year has you simply inching on your seat to see where they drive you to next. Won't ease my mind, 'cause I
want noise in quiet places. At number 9, it's Greta Ray with Positive Spin.
Honey Blonde Australian returned this year with her sophomore record, Positive Spin. As well documented with all of our interactions with Greta this year, both on this very podcast channel and our YouTube series, this record was a huge step forward for Greta. It has her leaning more into those pop sensibilities that she's kind of flirted with on her debut, Begin to Look Around. And while those sonics may have lightened, her lyrics, as always, hide something a little more sharper and more pointed. Greta has always had a way with words, and I don't see that changing in the future, but on Positive Spin, she shares enough to bring you into her honest and sometimes dark world while still letting you know there's a duality to everything and that it's all about perspective. Now I'm 20 and I'm not as fine. Hold it against me when I
have opinions. If you need and saving, then this won't get fine. At number 8, it's McKinley Dixon with Beloved Paradise Jazz. All the angels looking jealous because the halo was hoops hovering over your shoulders. Wings usually is folded. I'm not used to extending them to tell you the truth. Pull me off the wall, grow on my roots. Sheesh. We had the absolute pleasure of having McKinley Dixon on the podcast this year for what I believe is the best hip hop record of 2023. I know I'm not alone in this thought, as other media outlets such as Rolling Stone, Consequence of Sound, Paste, and others have included Beloved Paradise Jazz on their best of lists for the year.
The Toni Morrison-inspired record has McKinley continuing the amazing work that he built on his previous record, which was called For My Mama and Anyone Who Looked Like Her. And it sees the musician from Richmond, Virginia, musing on topics like gun violence and the Black American experience in 2023. While the instrumentation is super crisp, rich, and organic, it's the words and lyrics that really set this up to be one of the best hip-hop records of the last few years. We bent the block so many times, car almost flipped right over. Said I became a better liar as I've gotten older. Is it because the tongue got sharper or because my heart got colder?
Fuck around. At number 7, it's Olivia Rodrigo with Guts. Like a goddamn vampire.
Having really kicked things up a notch, Olivia returned this year with her stunning second record, Guts. We thought, who better to have on the podcast? We're going to balance out the scales a little bit. Jono from Sly Withers is here with us. Jono, hello once again, and thank you for coming on to our best of episode for the end of 2023.
Hello, thanks for having me again.
My absolute pleasure. It's always a delight to have both yourself and Sam on, and as we said, glad that we could help balance it out, get you guys even footing.
Appreciate it.
Now, Guts, I think we even maybe in one of our previous interviews have spoken about Olivia Rodrigo, and Guts kind of came through this year, kind of tearing up, well, I think tearing up people's expectations of what her second record was going to be. I know that this one's kind of leaning more into rock and like the indie rock of like the 90s. Curious to get what your thoughts were on Guts and the songs that were coming off this record this year.
Yeah, I think it was a massive album. Like, it was always going to be hard to kind of top what Sour did. And I think there had to have been a lot of nerves in that camp going forward to the release. But it's such a strong album in its own right that I think if it had been the first one out as well, it would have done just as well. And I think, yeah, it was a fantastic follow-up. And I think kind of... she delved a lot deeper into like some of the themes that she was pushing in the first one, and that kind of like, in the best way possible, like bratty American rock that she's kind of like coined and she's so good at. So yeah, I think it's been fantastic album, and that like having the chance to do this interview, I had another bunch of listens to it this week, and it was it's kind of like, you know, picked up on more things that I'd missed the first time, and yeah, it's just a really great album start to finish.
I would agree with that. It's really interesting because I think before the record came out, there were there seemed to be like, what's the word? Like co-signs by a number of other artists who are kind of like, yeah, this record's incredible. And like artists like Jack White and St. Vincent and Alanis Morissette and people of like really high stature that I think when you go back and re-listen to the record, you can hear their influences kind of in it almost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, what was it, on Vampire, the guitar at the end is very like Jack White, Lazaretto, almost in a way.
Yeah, and it's kind of like I always felt with Vampire that it's so, almost feels like a follow-on to Deja Vu from the first album. And I think it's like, you know, it's doing that same thing, but just pushing everything a slight bit further. And like you said, like the Jack White influence is definitely present there. And I think, just super interesting how she's like, well, I don't know if it's her or the band, but the way that they're like, you know, coordinating all the tones and stuff just really nail that 90s grunge type vibe, but done in a modern way is super cool.
100% agreed. Yeah. And like, I think you just mentioned it then, the 90s grunge kind of influence. I know she's going on tour with the Breeders next year and a few other bands that are kind of from that era. So I'm really curious to see where it does take possibly the next record, things like that. But it is, yeah, an incredible record. I know it's such a kind of unfair question to ask. Is there a key track for yourself? Is there a favorite track from the record?
Until maybe early in the week, I would have said Vampire, and I think it's still such a standout track. But having listened through this week, I was actually listening to it with my partner, and she pointed out that the first track, All American Bitch, it's like, I would have never picked this, but it went straight to her head that it plays in the first 40 seconds of the 10 Things I Hate About You movie with Heath Ledger. And it's, oh, sorry, no, it doesn't. It sounds like the song that plays in the first 40 seconds of that, Spider Bait Calypso. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it was an interpolation thing, but if you go back and listen to it, and you can find it on YouTube, you type in Spider Bait Calypso, 10 Things I Hate About You. The intro to that movie is like, it almost sums up the whole album, and it's like the wide shot American suburban it zooms in onto the house and you see the main character, and then it flips to like a grunge thing after being this really sweet acoustic guitar with like really pretty vocals, and then all of a sudden you just get hit with the 90s grunge thing. So I think like once that kind of got stuck in my head, I was like, that is such a smart, you know, maybe it was a complete accident, but it's just like, now for me, there's such strong imagery through that first song that just sets up the rest of the album. And it's almost like you could take this whole album, make it the soundtrack for that movie, and it would fit perfectly and make total sense. That idea of like, yeah, American suburban high school drama that is sort of just runs through every song. I think it's super cool.
That is actually, yeah, such a strong point. I would never have got there myself, but I can picture the scene that you're talking about, like where it's like the it's like the panning shot, and then it comes through the window, and then it kicks in with the grunge part of it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Man, shout outs to your partner for picking up on that. That's very strong.
I know. It's crazy.
Jono, I wanted to very quickly touch on, I know that 2022 was a massive year for Slight Withers. Obviously we had Overgrown. I know that you guys kept busy in 2023 with plenty of touring. I believe, and I'm not sure if we're allowed to divulge it, you guys are back in the studio. Can we talk about what we can expect for 2024, or is it all still kind of hush hush at the moment?
No, we can talk about it. We don't have a lot of plans, you know, set in stone for 2024. But as you said, yeah, we've just finished up another 2 weeks in the studio with Dave Parkin again, the same person we did Overgrown with. It was a really special couple of weeks because it's obviously Joel's last time in the studio with us. So he'll be wrapping up at the end of the year. New Year's is going to be his last show with us. It was just a different vibe going into the studio, that we were just trying to have as much fun with it as we could. And you know, that was always at the forefront of our minds. It was not really thinking about the long-term plan for these songs. It was what do we just want to do with it right now, and what would come from that, and just trying to have fun with the song. So I think we haven't got any of the mixes back yet, but very, very excited. I think at the moment it's hard to sort of piece together what it's all going to sound like, because I think from the songs that we started with, there's quite a broad range of influences. A lot of it is probably just going to be a breakup album, but about Joel, in the nicest way possible. Just very excited to get them back. And I think once we hear them, I think we'll have maybe 5 or 6 tracks done from these sessions. So got half an album, and then I think it's going to be a little bit of figuring out where we go from there. We haven't decided, you know, if we've got a new drummer who's going to jump on straight away or not. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And maybe we'll do some recording sessions without a drummer and see if half of it's an acoustic album or something like that. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. And there's a lot of excitement around both what Joel's going to be doing and what we're going to be able to do from now. So, yeah, I think it's too early to give you any plans or any dates because we don't have them. But very, very excited to hear how these songs turn out.
Regardless of when and where these kind of songs end up, very excited to hear them when we do get the opportunity to. So thank you for sharing that with us. And we will make sure that we have details for Joel's last show in the show notes for this year-end wrap-up, so that people can head along and support and farewell him in style. Jono, thank you very much for coming on to chat about Olivia Rodrigo Guts with us. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Have a good Christmas.
Six. It's Leve with Bewitched.
Just let me say that when I talk to you, oh Cupid walks right through and shoots an arrow through.
In what has been an absolutely stellar year for Leve, Bewitched confirms what we've been trying to tell you since we had her on the podcast back in 2021. The Icelandic Chinese singer and multi-instrumentalist crafts beautifully tender songs that pull jazz headfirst into 2023 and allows her to put her own modern take on the genre. With that absolutely haunting voice that is just like a young Billie Holiday, there is no way that you cannot fall in love with this record.
As a music university dropout, jazz and its accompanying cadences, chord structures, and all of that silly theory stuff still float around in my head. And so maybe that's why I love this record, but also maybe because it is just a damn great record to listen to in 2023 that doesn't really sound like any of her contemporaries.
It hurts to be something, it's worse to be nothing with you.
Number 5, it's Mitski with The Land is Inhospitable and So Are We.
I was hiding or forgotten, the only one left, not a word.
Over the years, Mitski has taken many forms. On her Puberty 2 record, she was the indie rock grunge queen. On Be the Cowboy, she dabbled with indie rock and pop. Laurel Hell saw Mitski put everything into a synth-heavy 80s-inspired record. And this is all to say that Mitski is never resting on her laurels and never staying in the one lane. She's always ever evolving. It once again rings true for The Land is Inhospitable, which sees the American-Japanese songwriter tone things down completely for a record that finds more in common with country and folk music. With acoustic guitars and pedal steels abound on this record, it honestly allows distance and room for Mitski's heartbreaking lyrics to really resonate with listeners. This is a stunning record, and it's not surprising that it did have a little moment on TikTok this year, and it saw Mitski's first appearance in the Hot 100 charts.
At number 4, it's Wednesday with Rat Saw God.
As I've gone through this list, I've started to realize that while there's no direct country artists, bar Mr. Zach Bryan, a lot of these records have country tinges and touches to them. The Paper Kites, Mitski, even Greta Ray, touches of country music seem to be permeating through my music taste, and Wednesday is just another brilliant example of this. Rat Saw God saw the North Carolina band release a record which is equal parts grunge, equal parts heavy rock, equal parts indie, and equal parts country, and the blend could not be more exquisite. After defying all kind of sonic labels, even though I just tried then, the record takes on the experience of growing up and being young in the South for both better or worse. Chosen to Deserve is one of the key tracks on this song, and at times it kind of comes off as an indie duet version of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and while I'm not mad about it, it is easy to see why it's one of my favourite tracks of this year.
Number 3, it's Juice Webster with Julia.
And what I would say is my favourite Australian record of 2023, Juice Webster hit it out of the park with her debut record, Julia. The Melbourne songwriter's debut tackles subjects like grief, anxiety, and yearning all through the lens of nostalgia, and it's an absolutely heartbreaking listen. Coming from a somewhat electronic background with her other project, Hem, Juice Webster makes beautifully textured folk that would sit well with any fan of Big Thief, Phoebe Bridgers, and basically any other incredible female-fronted indie band. This is an absolutely stellar debut that makes me super excited to see what Juice Webster does next.
Number 2, it's Sampha with La Hai.
I spilled it on the floor, then I found myself all washed up by the shore. Artificial light, a glowing foam, the source, it will wake me up.
With the volume of music we get sent for the podcast, sometimes it is difficult for a record to resonate with us quickly, and it usually takes some time. I have to admit this year, this was not the case with La Hai. This stunning record from Sampha is an instant classic that honestly just demands your attention. Following on from his brilliant debut record Process, La Hai seems to be tackling subjects such as faith and the ability to move forward through difficult times, all while his ethereal voice floats above skittish and well-thought-out electronic sonics. The power in this record is both in Sampha's lyrical content and his ability as a producer, where you really feel the power of what he's saying and how the music simply builds and swells and supports around it. While Process was dealing with grief, this second record, Lahai, is definitely a journal of picking yourself up and beginning to move again.
Lying in reflections. Moonlight hits.
At number one, it's Boy Genius with the record.
The way I am, not strong enough to be your man. I try, I can't stop staring at the ceiling fan.
Come on now, are you really surprised that Boy Genius is the number one record on my list? We absolutely love the separate work of Miss Phoebe Bridges, Miss Julian Baker, and Miss Lucy Dacus here at the podcast. So, of course, their brilliant supergroup record, aptly titled The Record, was going to be our album of the year. While certain tracks give off the distinct songwriting flavor of one of the previously three mentioned songwriters, the power on this record is in the tracks that don't really allow you to work out who wrote what. The mystery of these tracks that could only really appear on this record are what make the record great. From Emily I'm Sorry to Satanist, these songs have been lapped up the world over by lovers of indie rock and just sad songs in general. Here's hoping that 2024 gives us an Australian Boy Genius tour so that we can all cry to these songs together. We'll let Satanist play us out, but thank you again for listening to our Top Records of 2023 episode. Thank you to all involved, to our guests and their lovely publicists and teams for their help with today's episode. We hope you have a lovely holiday break with family and loved ones. Stay safe, and we'll see you back for more This Song Is Yours in 2024.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.